This morning, we're going to look at a couple of passages in Isaiah, very familiar passages for Advent season, Christmas time. I want to read one verse from Isaiah chapter 7, and then we will read a couple of verses from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then over in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we bless you. We thank you for this morning that we have to gather together. Thank you for every person who has gathered and come in your name to this place, inside this building and outside, worshiping together. Lord, let us know that we have been in your presence. Let us hear your living words, the words of life, as Peter called them. Let us be fed. Let us grow and be transformed. For it's you, Lord, and being with you, knowing you, loving you, experiencing who you are, that transforms us. Let us see you this morning. Holy Spirit, we pray, show us Jesus. In his name, amen. And to kind of put this in context, in the first chapter there, there's this conflict taking place, this great bunch of the enemy that have come against Israel and gathered around, and the king has, you know, is facing all of this, and the Lord wants to assure him that he's going to take care of it. So he asks him, he says to him, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. And Ahaz was a little too religious. I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Now, it's one thing to be humble, but it's another thing to take an out. And I, of course, don't know what was in Ahaz's heart and his refusal to do what the Lord told him to do. But when the Lord tells you to ask him, ask him. But anyway, God has given him this open blank check, basically. And the prophet says, is it a small thing for you to weary men? What will you weary my God also? And then we have this promise, which is just such another expression of the grace of God. God's trying to help this king see that he's going to take care of this massive enemy army, and giving him a strong a sign, giving him an opportunity to bolster his faith. And he won't take it. And yet God, in his grace, says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Lord himself will give you. That same idea carries on with this next passage. The Lord will give you. And what he gives you, God's the greatest gift that always gives us, the most continual gift, the gift that God offers is always himself. What better could be offered? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Of course, a miracle. The very thought of it is mind-blowing. The very thought of it stretches us to the limits. But God chooses to give this sign, a virgin's miraculous conception, for those who want to argue about that and try to maintain that Christ had an earthly father. Well, she wouldn't be a virgin conceiving if Christ had an earthly father, if a human man had been involved, but he wasn't. It was a miraculous event. And the very fact that God would is amazing. And then even the thought that he could is mind-boggling. The very thought that God himself could become in this teenage virgin's womb a human fetus. What a sign. What a sign of grace that God offers and comes himself to deal with, to help, to deliver us from our enemies, as Zacharias prophesied later on, which we read earlier this morning. It is a grace sign, a miraculous sign, and a promise that God himself will become man to save man from himself. And then we move over with Isaiah's prophecy into chapter 9, and we see again this magnitude of the grace of God. For unto us a child is born. It's interesting to me that God chooses, in showing his great grace, to come to save the world as a baby. A child is born. Unto us a son is given. Both lines say unto us. What God's doing, he's doing for you and for me. Where we are, in what we face, in all of our life, in all of our need. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. A son, not just any son, it's a capital S, the Son. The very Son of God is given. God is so gracious. Christmas is a time of celebration of the grace of God, of again him giving the best, himself. Kind of like a story I read. It says, after starting a new diet, I altered my drive to work to avoid passing my favorite bakery. I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and as I approached, there in the window were a host of chocolates, donuts, and cheesecakes. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed. Lord, it's up to you. If you want me to have any of those delicious goodies, create a parking place for me directly in front of the bakery. And sure enough, on the 8th time around the block, there it was. God is so good. Grace. Well, obviously far more than a donut or cheesecake. God sent his son. God came himself. And to make sure we didn't miss this son, this child that's born, this son that's given, upon whose shoulder the government of all will rest, he goes to lengths to express to us who he is. Of course, he begins there in chapter 7 with the name Emmanuel, as you know, means God with us. There's never been anyone like Jesus before or since, because no one has ever been God in the flesh but him. Now, he is making us like him when we open our heart through faith and invite him in. And we begin this lifelong transformation of being made and conformed to his image. But knowing him is what Isaiah is focusing on here. And he, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us all these names, all these descriptions of who this son is, this child, this promised deliverer. His name will be called. Now, you know, in the Bible, it's clear that Bible names are genuinely the character or personality or individuality of the person who bears them. And so we have these names that Isaiah pins for us to grasp some idea of who God is that has come as the Son. His name will be called Wonderful. The word for wonderful literally in this context, this particular word, means unique. So special as to command all attention and to amaze. That's a pretty good description of wonderful. Unique. Special. Amazing, beyond description. And Counselor. Counselor. Typically we think of a counselor as someone who helps us see things maybe that we are not seeing. Someone who opens our eyes to things that we haven't considered, maybe or known before. Counselor here is an individual, a person with great wisdom and the qualifications to guide and direct the human race. Christ is that counselor. This son, this child born, is not only wonderful, but he's counselor. He is the one with all wisdom. If you need to know what to do, at any time and in any place, ask him. He will not come up short. He has all wisdom and all knowledge. And then, Mighty God. Isaiah is communicating to those he's writing to and to us. This child, this baby, this son that is born and given is the Messiah. He is God. God is this son, this child. And this child, this son, is the divine, almighty God. He is without measure in power and ability. And yet he lived with such humility and such grace and discipline that he could also be the everlasting Father. He is the mighty God who can do anything, and he is the everlasting Father, literally the Father of eternity, unending. He never leaves. He never ceases to be. I hope that you had a good relationship with your father. But we all know and would have to admit that none of us had a perfect father. And without doubt, if we live long enough, that father is taken from us. But this father, this child, this son who is given is the everlasting father. He's the father of eternity. He is the absolute perfect father that you and I need. And yet he's that father without end. He is always there, always compassionate, always caring, always for us. And this same one who is wonderful and counselor and mighty God and everlasting Father, upon whose shoulders the government of all sits, is the Prince of Peace. He's not a despot. He's not a evil dictator. He's not a self-centered, arrogant, evil leader. He's the Prince of Peace. It means that his reign as a Prince of Peace is extending and promoting peace, and it shall be unlimited. Unlimited peace. His reign shall never end or cease or diminish. Now we can see a whole lot of things going on even in our world today. There's war, there's destruction, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's greed, there's destruction. And yet he reigns. He sits on his throne, and he is at work. And he is bringing what God intended from the beginning, heaven on earth. Isn't that what Jesus taught us to pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, God's intention is not just to do all this down here and get us ready and then just do away with all of this creation and we all get to enjoy some place called heaven. God's intention is to bring the two together in wholeness, in holiness, in rightness. God is going to have a creation where his kingdom is, where his glory is, where his intention of love being the rule, he will have. He is accomplishing it. He is doing it. But you know, I realized something this week. It just kind of sunk in. I know I've thought of it before, I'm sure. You have too, but it just kind of sunk in and settled there for a while. God is in no hurry. God is not affected by time. I mean, sometimes we want to say, well, God, if you really are who you say you are and you are all of these things, then let's get this done. And yet God has been at work now for several thousand years. And the whole time that has taken place, with all the ups and downs and all the darkness and all the evil, his kingdom has marched on and on and on. And he is establishing, he is completing his task His will. He will fulfill it. Of the increase, verse 7 says, of His government and peace, there will be no end. There are more Christians on the face of the earth now than there have ever been in history. There are more people, even in the Middle East, turning to Christ now than has been in many, many, many years. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Once he started it, and he is going to finish it. The last line says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Zeal means ardent desire. You might say utter determination. One preacher from years past called zeal love ablaze. And God has declared that He has set about to give us our deliverer, no less than Himself. In the person of His child, His Son, that is given. And He will fulfill all that He intends. You can find it in the end of the book. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then in verse 14 of that same chapter, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This sign, this son, this child born of a virgin, this son given who is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, he reigns. And of His kingdom, there will ever increase, there is no end. And He will fulfill all God's desire. God will do it, guaranteed. Revelation 21, John said, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. You can underline that. With men. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them. He says it three times, and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. This son, this child that was born, this son that was given, whose name is Emmanuel, whose coming we celebrate in this time of the year, he is the one God promised to liberate us, to set us free from all our enemies, so that we, as Zechariah said, without fear can serve God. Be with Him. He with us. holiness and righteousness and peace forever. And all whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, everyone that belongs to Jesus will enjoy the results of that gift, the gift of that Son, forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you are who you are and that you are so gracious. As the psalmist said, your loving kindness is better than life. You have given a child, a son, your son, through a virgin, miraculously, that you could fulfill your purposes in saving us from our enemies, from all enemy, from our sin, from even our own difficulties and failures, and by your grace to bring us into the kingdom of your peace. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.